He is worthy. Our God is worthy. Jesus, we welcome you in this place. We thank you, God, for your sweet spirit. We thank you for your sweet spirit. Just continue to reach out to him. Just continue to reach out to his spirit. You know, we're not here just to be in another church service. It's not what this is about, gathering together to gather together. But we're here to say, Lord, what are you saying? Our ears are open to you and what your spirit is saying. Our heart is open. We desire to hear your command because we want to walk with you and in your will and in your desire. Just feel his presence. Sweet presence of his Holy Spirit. How wonderful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How sweet it is when we enter into that place together with the Lord. We've been looking forward to this evening for a long time. I want to say welcome, family. Thanks for coming out and worshiping with us. Wow, this room seems full. Come on up, love.
As we were worshiping the Lord, I just saw angels just being released from heaven and going throughout Alaska, just pouring forth out of a ladle. For this is Alaska's time of her visitation. This is Alaska's time of visitation, not only of my presence, but of my glory. And no man will be able to stop what I am doing. No structure, no religious spirit. Of course, the enemy, he doesn't have a chance. Because the Lord is coming in with his heavenly host. The visitation of salvations, deliverances, healings. For the Lord is hearing the cries of our people. The land is ready to receive the visitations of the Lord. Even as you have heard and seen whole villages come to me, you will see towns now and the cities that have been obstinate towards me come to the Lord. And no longer will you be able to withhold my presence and contain my presence within the four walls of the building, as it were. No longer will you be able to contain my presence within your own selves or within your own homes. But I say that the field is ready and is even white unto harvest. So speak my word Say one word and you will see the lost saved, even as I'm already moving now amongst the lost. I'm now moving amongst those who have been churched, who have been hurt by the religious denominations of man. You will begin to see them come in, for they will see you in a different way. For I'm doing something in you, don't you see? I'm breaking down your walls. I'm breaking down your structures, and I am coming in a new way. And I am filling myself in you with my holy presence and my glory, so that when you go out, you would tell my story and not your own. So now I say, be filled again, for the angels are releasing, they're filling you with my glory even now. Amen.
Lord, thank you. Thank you for the walls coming down, everything that separates us from you, Lord. Thank you for bringing those walls down. Thank you, Lord God, that our ears are open to what your Spirit is saying to us, Lord. Thank you for the salvation of Alaska and building your kingdom in this North Country. Yeah, thank you.
I felt this was such a profound word. God is telling us that it's now. The gate is open to salvation. The doors are wide unto harvest. One of the things that came forth in the word, that this is Alaska's time for visitation. And God is visiting the church right now. He's visiting all over the state. And did you hear that word about not just villages will come under that visitation, but towns will come under a visitation, the glory of the Lord. I believe that's already begun here in Anchorage, which thrills my heart. It's begun in this church. And back when the revival hit in the 60s and 70s, it began in this church. And this room here was filled with people worshiping. And there was a school in the first floor beneath us. First, second, third graders, and they were suddenly being filled with the Holy Ghost in their classrooms and began to worship the Lord because the Spirit of God was descending on the place. God's angels are already here. They're filling this place. And the word that came from the Lord is, if you would just say a word, people's hearts will be turned to Him. And I felt compelled of the Lord to bring a box of tracks that are uniquely Alaskan tracks. They're Iditarod tracks, and they use the Iditarod Trail to talk about the trail of life leading to Jesus Christ. I'm having someone go get them. I'll put them on the back table. And I want you to take a handful of those and begin to obey this word that was just delivered with a fresh anointing, and begin to hand out the tracks to people. Share with them. Jesus is here. He's not coming. He is here. And He's here to save. He's here to deliver. He's here to prosper. He's here to bless. He is the answer. He was the beginning. He is the end. This is the season for Him. I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to declare him before the world. And I encourage you, begin to declare him now before the world. For the word of the Lord has already gone forth ahead of you. The way has been prepared, and he's just waiting for you to say yes and to obey. He's made it easy for us. Let's hear what God is saying. Say one word and the lost will be saved. He also said he was moving on the hearts of those who've been wounded by the church. How many of you have ever been wounded by the church? Or people in the church? Praise God, he's healing. He's healing. I mean, those things are as nothing in comparison to the glory that will be revealed in us. Here are some of the tracts. I want you to be free to come get them. If you'd like to have some of those tracts now to hand out, raise your hands. I'll have Jack just give them to you. Just Robert also, just begin to give it to you, because this is a now time. Whenever there's a now word from the Lord, quickly respond to it, because the anointing to fulfill that word is here. Hallelujah.
Yeah. There's more in the back. You can pick some up before you leave and just spread them all out. I just wanted to say welcome to our Kingdom Alliance meetings. That was my lovely wife, Eleanor. Sometimes we just assume that, you know, you've been coming and you might know our names, but my name is Robert Roll. This is my lovely wife, Eleanor Roll. This is Mary Glazier. And, you know, one of the things that we do as far as with Kingdom Alliance is, you know, our meetings are not a rote meeting. We don't, you know, I actually type out an agenda, but it's not because, you know, we want it to be a certain way. We just want it to be want to flow in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, with that, you know, even when we have our praise and worship band, I just say, be free and be led by the Holy Spirit. Do what you feel like God is leading you to do. And so, Jake and Lee, thank you so much for what you do tonight. Yes. You don't always really know exactly how these meetings are going to turn out, but I will say this, is that I've never been disappointed, because the Lord always shows up. And when we're here together expecting, he's going to show up in a powerful way. Tonight, we have Kevin Zedai. I have problems with the Z's, Kevin Zedai. You know what, Kevin, we spent some time with him in Florida. We were ministering down there at the Life Church in Florida. And we got the chance to meet Kevin. And the ministry and the spirit that flows through him touched my life. And I know that I've never been the same since. He brought us through a prayer and brought me into a whole nother place. And I was at a place where I really needed that outpouring. So, you know what? He doesn't call himself a prophet, but I do. And as far as for you, I would like for you to help me to welcome Kevin to Alaska. And let's go ahead and pull on that gift of the Lord that the Lord has made him to be. Pull it, and it's going to come out. I wanted to just have my wife come up, and Mary, if you could come up also. You know, within Alaska and the people of the land, it's part of our tradition to honor those that come and welcome them to the land. So, Kevin, if you could just come here, please. Kevin, we just wanted to say welcome to Alaska. Welcome to this land. We receive you. We receive you as a man. We receive you as a gift from God. And we say to you, let his spirit flow through you without restriction. Let his spirit flow.
For has the Lord not already said you are his oracle? He said he's put his words in your mouth. He's given you a commandment to deliver his message. And he is opening even the ends of the earth to you. For the Lord says, as you have humbled yourself before him, so he will open the portals of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. For you will see angels ascending and descending, and you will hear the sound of the voice of the Lord in the wind. And the Spirit of the Lord will visit you in the night. For the word of the Lord to you is, rise up, O warrior of the Lord, as oracle of the Most High God, and deliver that which God has placed in your belly, for you are infused with the Holy Spirit. Every molecule, every particle of your body is drenched by the Holy Ghost, for it is by him that you live and move and have your being. And the Lord says, I am with your mouth. Be bold, says the Lord. Be bold, says the Lord. For I will break forth on the right and the left. Be bold, says the Lord. Be bold, says the Lord. For I will call forth out of you a volcano of words and anointing and fire, says the Lord.
For the land of Alaska rises up and says yes and amen to you, Kevin. The land of Alaska and the hearts of Alaskan people say yes and amen to the word of the Lord that will be pouring forth out of you and through you. And even in this joining together of heaven and earth, there will be a holy explosion that comes forth even this weekend, and great fruitfulness and harvest will come forth even from the words of heaven, and the earth rises up and meets the word of the Lord and brings forth a fruitfulness and a harvest, and the earth and heaven and earth rises up and kisses, and they meet, and mercy and righteousness have met together, and it brings forth a great harvest and fruitfulness. So we say yes and amen, yes and amen, yes and amen.
Kevin, we have this, it's a part of our tradition to give gifts also. And this right here is it's a necklace. It's made by a Dena'ina Athabascan Indian. He's also a Yupik Eskimo and has some Aleut, so it's a pretty good spread from all over Alaska. I actually made this. But as I was praying, as far as, you know, how to make this, this is what. I just want you to look at this necklace here. This right here is walrus. It's a walrus tooth. And walrus go down deep into the sea to eat. And the Lord is saying that he's taken you to depths in his spirit and has fed you, but he's taken you deeper to places that you haven't experienced before. And he is going to feed you. And he is going to put his word in your mouth. Amen. It's even in your mouth now. And it's going to pour out with greater measures of his power and his majesty. Amen. I put these blue beads on here that represents the Holy Spirit that fills you, that strengthens you, that envelops all around you. I also put these gold beads on here that represents his glory that will manifest wherever you go. And these right here, these long oblong ones, are made out of antlers. And it speaks of the people of the land and this land, Alaska, that welcomes you to the land and is asking that you would allow his Holy Spirit to flow through you in new and powerful ways. Speak the word to us.
Praise God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Is that okay? Everybody stay in the spirit. Everybody stay in there. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I am so happy. Oh, my, there's a lot of people here. It's the first time I've looked up. Everybody, just stay in the spirit. There's a rich, it's a rich well here. I don't take it for granted when I know that people have interceded and prayed and paid the price to have an open heaven like this. I don't take it for granted. Sorry, if we would just wait on him for a minute. Thank you. Because I'm not worth much without him. The sooner you get that, the better off you'll be. Praise God. Yeah, some people wait till they're 80 years old to figure it out. It's like, don't wait that long. Praise God. And you don't have to die to find that out and come back, too. You know, I just happened to learn that way, but you don't have to die and come back to find this out either. It's amazing what you can do without getting involved, just yielding. You know? Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this night. Thank you, Father, for this place. Thank you for this state. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, the conqueror, the mighty warrior, the commander of the Lord's army, the heavenly hosts, angel armies, many, many angel armies. Oh, come to this place tonight to conquer. To take back. Ooh, thanks for being patient with me. I just like to wait on him. Ooh, that's where you get your strength. If you would, just turn with me to Psalms 23. I'll be able to look at you in a minute here. I'm just overcome. I just want to point some things out to you. I have a new translation that I've been using. It's called the Passion Translation. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. This guy, Dr. Simmons, he was a translator down in South America, and he had an experience where he got to go to heaven. And when he came back, the Lord had told him, he said, I want you to translate the Bible from Aramaic, which is like a street version of Hebrew. It's like the modern Hebrew. So Aramaic is what Jesus spoke. And I when I heard that he did this, I went ahead and started reading it, and I was amazed. It's a lot of what Jesus told me in my experiences I'm going to share with you over the weekend. You know, I had gone to college, Bible, I had studied the Bible, and I'd had a lot of good things happen, you know, a lot of amazing things happen with the Lord. And but I didn't know him until when I met him face to face, I realized I didn't really know him. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of verses that ring a bell now with me that Jesus said that nobody wants to preach on. You know, didn't I prophesy in your name and cast out devils in your name? And he says, I don't know you. So I was one of those people. I didn't really know him. I knew him, but I didn't know him. And now I know I'm known by him. And when you know you're known in heaven and you know you're known by him and he knows you by name, it's a whole different way of life down here. Knowing that he wants you more than you want him. He has more patience with you than you do with him. You know, your understanding is going to start to increase this weekend. And one of the things that I found is that this guy, Dr. Simmons, the way he translated what the Bible, it started to sound like some of the things that Jesus had said to me when I came back, you know, because I was this big Bible scholar before I died. And I came back and I was a little Bible scholar. It was like, well, it's about this big. Because all my knowledge, I could fit into like a little pillbox, you know. Because, you know, he started talking to me, and I thought, this is more profound than what I've ever read or thought or heard. And I'm telling you, even some of the verses that he would actually tell me what verse, the chapter, verse, and the person he had talked to. So when he's talking to me and teaching me, he would actually quote and tell me where it was. And I'd have to go back and look it up because I didn't remember it being that. Did you hear what I just said? It was actually better than what I had remembered it being. Because when he speaks it, it's life. You know, and down here, we have to depend on the Holy Spirit to make the word life. And if not, it's just words. I mean, just think about how many times the Bible has been spoken. You know, you'd think that by now the world be saved. Just by all the word that's been spoken. But it's different when it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. You know, when you speak by the Spirit, it's, you know, Jesus said that the Spirit is life. You know, there's no darkness in him. And so a lot of what we think is good is really, it can't be good. It's got to move you. It's got to change you. And when Jesus was talking to me, It was just much more. So when I came back, I started to look up stuff. And I thought, man, you know, here I am. I'm a scholar. I was a big scholar. Now I'm a little scholar. And, you know, I thought I knew a bunch. And then I realized I didn't know much. But I knew him now. And it's amazing. He just shows up. He wants to go to work with me. He wants to talk to my friends. Even if I don't want to, he wants to. You know what I mean? And sometimes he likes them more than I do. Yeah, it's amazing. And the angels are letting me to do stuff that I don't want to do, but they're like, you know, that's what we're doing. If you want us to hang around you better start doing what heaven's doing. So it's a whole different, so I'm trying to get you to know me a little bit, that I was all that, now I'm not. And, you know, now I'm everything to him. You know, and he bought me. You know, he bought me out. You know, the whole life I live now is for him. And it's a truth. I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything, you know. Anyway, Psalms 23, you know it. You know it. You know the King James and everything, right? You know, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, right? Well, listen to this guy. This guy's taking it from Aramaic. It says, the Lord is my fearless protector and my pastor. Now, that's the way Jesus talks. Everything has power. I mean, he'll say one thing to you, and you're like, you want to stop and say, Selah, and you want to just sit there. You know, it's just like eating at a buffet. You know, you just want to soak it all in. And so that's what this says here. He says he offers me a resting place for me and his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, a quiet brook of bliss. And I'm going to skip down into verse 4 because this is what I want to talk about tonight. I have written a lot of books. I have a lot of material. But I just study it all because I just come and I just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Just tell me. You know, what are you saying to these people? And he loves you. So this is what he says. Lord, this is what David said. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of the deepest darkness, listen to this. Fear will never conquer me, for you already have. Now that is Jesus. That's why he talks all the time. So you say, well, I have some questions for you, Jesus. He goes, no, I have some questions for you. You know, he's like right back at you, you know. He's like, what's bothering you? So he'll ask you, what is bothering you? What is really, really, really bothering you? And he's asked me that, and I had to ask myself. I thought, well, I got to think about that. So I kind of look really deep, you know. What is bothering me? You know, somebody, please tell me what's bothering me. Why do I feel irritated? Why do I feel like I need to take a shower and I just took one? You know? And I thought about it and I thought, well, okay, this is what's bothering me. So I told him, I said, this is what's bothering me. And you know, I thought that was it. You know how we are. We think, but see, I'd answered him in the soul. But he's not a soul man. I just want you to know that. It says that God is spirit. And those who worship him in spirit and in truth. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, he never asked me for my opinion. In 45 minutes he talked to me. You know, he never asked me, you know, do you think I'm doing okay? You know, like when I talk, am I clear? You know, do you like my robe? No, he's not like that. I mean, it's black and white, and, you know, he wants to help, but, you know, he has to be strong in order to help. You know, somebody needs to be strong. Somebody needs to have answers instead of questions, you know. So, anyway, I said, you know, this is what's bothering me. And he goes, you know, I thought that was it. You know what he does? He goes, no. He goes, well, what's the root of that? And I'm thinking, what? So then I had to really think deep, you know. I'm thinking, okay, well, what is that causes that? And I had to go and I had to think, okay, well, this is the root. And you know what? When I got to the root of what it was an assignment from hell. See, that's what he wanted. When he cursed the tree, where did it get cursed from? What died first? The roots, right? So if you want to know Jesus, if you want, you know, if I could, you know, I tell this first just in case the power of God hits and I fall and then I can't talk anymore. At least I've gotten something really important out. Because he's a root man. And he wants to fix you. But the reason he wants to fix you is because he wants to hang out with you and he wants to talk to you and he wants someone to talk back to him and have fellowship with him. He wants you to get over your stuff. It's the truth. Because he doesn't have any stuff. And, you know, the Trinity doesn't meet. And they're not worried. You know, the Trinity is meeting. And they talk. And they got good plans. You know, it's Jeremiah 29:11. It said, I got good plans and it's a good end for you too. And so they may have these meetings and they have these amazing things that they want for people. And because there's no time, I mean, the clock doesn't even tick in heaven. And there's no distance, so they can go anywhere, anytime. They can show up early, everywhere, all the time. And so what they do is, they think about these things, and to you, what really flips you out is that the book, it's according to Psalms 139:16, the book that's written about you was written before you were born. Which really, like, because, you know, it's spiritually discerned. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you start reading, I love that whole chapter. Of chapter 2, and it's, if you want to be a spirit person, that is, you know, you can go to work and do your job and not be weird, but yet be spiritual. You know, like, I'm weird to the world, but I mean I do my job and I get awards for it. You know, I still am a good employee, but what I'm trying to say is that, you know, the world does not accept me. Because they, Jesus said that they hated me, they're going to hate you. Okay, I already said that, so it's too late. It's in red letters. It's too late. You can't, don't try to be accepted. Because we're not from this kingdom down here. We're from another kingdom. And so it's more powerful. It's more prosperous. Things are bright. Things are happening, you know. And I think what it is we, you know, we want to sneak off and date the devil, you know, smooch with him, you know, a little bit or something. I don't know. You know, some people just like to, they want to have that 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And, you know, and what happens is there's confusion all the time. But see, there's no confusion between the Trinity, and they're not asking you for any opinions about what you think. And this, well, this is what I believe. I could never say that to Jesus. Well, you know, this is what I believe. I hear that all the time. I'm talking to people about the Lord, and they want to talk doctrine with me, and they're fighting with the wrong person because I know all that stuff, you know. But I just tell them, right? I says, "Oh no, this is story time. We're not talking about doctrine here, you know. In heaven, you know, it's just one way. It's Jesus. He's actually the door. Is everybody has to go through him? That's it. That's the way it is." You know, in first chapter of Romans, it says that everyone is without excuse because even creation itself speaks about God. Okay, that's what it says. Okay, so the Trinity has already met on your behalf. And it's hard for us to understand that, but they can do that and write a book about you and still give you free will. You know, and some of you might not even be on your first page of your book yet. And yet there's all this amazing stuff written. And so it's more about the second chapter of Corinthians, of 1 Corinthians, where it says that the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And you can't know the heart of God with your mind. It's the Spirit. And your spirit has to pick that up. It's spiritually discerned. And so you got to play by the rules. You can't figure God out. It's going to get real thick in here in just a minute. My help just came. I got help, you know. I made a couple of demands coming back. It's kind of hard to come back to this realm. But I got to do it for him. But I need help. And so every now and then I get help. I get it all the time, but you know what I'm saying. Sometimes it's really a lot of help. So it's going to get real thick in here. But see, what happens is people start to figure it out that Psalms 139:16 is actually talking about you. actually, like, look, God looked and even saw your unformed body. But it says that each one of my days was written in a book before one of them came to pass. I didn't even know that was in there. And it's been in there for a long time. Because David wrote that thousands of years ago. And he had a revelation. Okay, so we're going to have some revelation tonight because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has been sent to reveal Jesus to us. And so Jesus is the center of heaven. But see, if you make him the center of your life, then he makes you the center of his life. You become very attractive to him when you yield. Heaven perks up. And so you have to, first of all, you have to remember that there's a book written about you. And it's the acts of God through you. It's God manifesting his glory through you. It's written. And I mean that. Your days, it says each one of my days was written in a book before one came to pass. And so the best thing you can do is stop trying. Did you know that there's a couple words not used in heaven? And one of them is the word try. It's never used. Because God has never tried anything. He has never tried anything. He doesn't do experiments. Everything he does is with intention. There's a plan. Now, it appears that certain things have happened, of course, but if you look it up and you figure it out, it had to do with people's wills or beings' wills. You know, there's demonic spirits that did not stay where they were supposed to stay. And then Eve is talking to an animal about God and discussing doctrine. She's discussing what she believes with a snake. And I'm thinking, think about it. This is how this whole thing started. And here we are. Here we are. You know, half of us wear glasses. Half of us have to pray hours just to hear God. It just went like that, real quick. Now we wear glasses. We limp sometimes. We have to work for our money. Need I go on? That's why we're in what we're in. Somebody was talking to somebody they shouldn't have. And that snake said, well, did God say? Well, he had already said it. And then he's trying to sell the fact that God's keeping stuff back from you. And they already had everything. But they're trying to, you know, these demonic spirits are trying to make you think God's not doing what he says he is, you know, who he is. And so get that in your mind, that let it sink in your heart, the truth that there's a book written about you. And what I do, if you really want to know the secret, is that every day I say, Lord, open my book to today. Put your finger on what it says. Whatever it says, I agree with it. That's what I want today. Open my book. Oh, he loves that. You know what else he loves? He loves to hear that if you say, I say this, Lord, if you don't help me today, it's going to be really bad. I'm not going without you. Now that sounds like, you know, to some people that's like, sounds like weakness. But listen, what I'm going to talk to you tonight about is going to really help you. Because you got to define your lines. And the line that I like to talk about the most is the line that Jesus talked to me about the most. And that's the line where if you take another step, you end and he begins. There's borders. Nobody wants to talk about limitations, but God says, just get there quick. Get to the end of yourself. Find out where you end and he begins. See, I want to know that. Because do you know that the next step after that, after you find that line, that next step is supernatural. Oh, you just wait, girl, till you just wait. The Lord loves burnt sacrifices, I'm telling you. There's flesh burning, and there's a lot of flesh burning. Why do you think he likes things cooked? I'm serious. Think about it. And he started telling Abraham, all those guys, start putting stuff on the grill for me. A sweet aroma, yeah. And now we're a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, you know, which is our regional service, but a reasonable service. We're producing fruit because we're not deciding to go our own way. Now, here's the thing. The supernatural is like one step away. Like right now, I could say stuff right now. I could go to the end. We can close it out. Right now, I could just go there because I know exactly what to say. Take the whole room there. But I got to teach too. But see, there's angels. They hear code words and they're like, okay, that's it. And they start doing their thing. Because they don't have watches on. You know what I mean? They're all about getting it done. They want to see the millennium come in. They want the sons of God to be revealed. They want people to stand in their authority. Now we're just having a little talk here. I haven't even gotten excited yet, but I'm telling you this because there's books written about you. Wouldn't you like to have that book? Well, it's up there. There's a couple books, in fact. Did you know that there's one being written tonight? You know, in Malachi, you always hear Malachi 3:10 because that's about the tithe. But if you keep reading, there's some goodies there. 16, 25, 25. It talks about the people that had gathered together and they were talking good about the Lord. Imagine that. And it says that a book of remembrance was written that they had spoken well of the Lord. A book of remembrance. That's in the Bible. That's happening right now. Okay, so here's the first truth that Jesus told me. He said, everything you do in my name counts. Everything. It's all recorded. He said, Kevin, you go back and you tell people that what they are doing counts. It really does. You wouldn't believe some of the things he was mentioning to me that I had done. He was well aware of the things I had done in secret. And he complimented. He said, in fact, there's some things. He even said what they were. I don't put it in my book, but I'll tell you a little bit about it. He started talking. He goes, you're known in heaven, Kevin. I'm like, what? You know, I was only 31 years old when I died. And he said, you've been faithful. You finished your race. I said, I haven't even lived yet. You know, how could I have finished my race, you know? And he said, oh, it's not based on how much you do. It's based on what I told you to do and if you did it. And he said, you are talked about in heaven because you drop what you're doing when I ask you to do something and you go do it. And you never ask me why. You never ask any questions. You just go do it. He said, you're talked about in heaven because of that trait. I go, really? I thought that's what you're supposed to do. And he said, your rewards are based on what I asked you to do and what you did. Period. And so you don't have to really live. I mean, if you want to live a long time, you can. And the more you're down here, the more effective, you know, the more you can do. But did you know that it's not quantity, it's quality? Because that's the way Jesus is. He's both. But he's really quality. So everything he says counts. And so it's better to do a little bit with the quality, you know, of having prayer behind it, of really in your heart doing it out of passion. It just goes a lot further in the spirit when you're doing it from a heart of compassion. And you're touched by heaven when you do it. Something happens. I mean, it gets really loud. Do you know that you actually have a huge voice by your life, even if you're not talking? You didn't get that, did you? God can hear. I mean, think about this. If you don't believe me, what about this? God asks Cain where Abel is. He said, I don't know. I'm not his keeper. He goes, well, isn't his blood crying out to me? Ooh. So blood has a voice. You want to hear another one that has a voice? Sin. Three, God and either two angels or it was the Trinity came to talk to Abraham. And on the way out, they said, well, should we keep from Abraham what we're about to do? And so God starts to explain to him. He goes, there's been a shriek coming up from those cities down there. And we've come down to see if that shriek of sin is as bad as what's come up before us. Read it. It's got a voice. Okay, so I don't want to focus on the negative, but you know, it is part of how the positive comes out is we have to look at these things and we have to realize that there are things that have voices without actually talking. And so your position in Christ, what Jesus did for you, his blood speaks. You know, there's a voice of your position in him. You know, like you're never going to be any more holy than Jesus' blood was. You know, you're never going to be any, you're not going to get any better, gooder. You know, you can't impress him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Is you're good because he's good. You're righteous because he's righteous. So there's a positional thing where God looks down and he sees the blood. And he looks at Jesus and Jesus says, I represent them. I'm their lawyer. And that's it. Oh, just a little side journey. While Jesus was talking to me and he was telling me all these wonderful things about myself that he thought of me, I thought, you know, I know I've done some stupid things. And I was looking at him and I was looking in his eyes and I realized that he really didn't even have my file, that it had been expunged. It was gone. And I'm looking in his eyes and I mean, I'm serious. He was not allowed to know. He had no record. Literally, he didn't have my file. And he was treating me as though I was the best thing he'd ever made. And I mean that. That's why I didn't want to come back. Because some of y'all don't think that way about me. You know? you know what I mean? We all just have to dig through our stuff. And I mean, like, what? Jesus is not like that. He does not have a file on you. And that's the truth. So you're as good as you're going to get. Now, there's other things that you can do, you know, that we can get into if you want. You know, out of faith and out of love and out of the fruit of the Spirit, you can do acts. It would be as though Jesus was down here working. And there's rewards for that. But your position in heaven doesn't get any better. You understand what I'm saying? You're bought. You know, you were purchased, you know, and that's it, okay? Okay. So you have to accomplish this by Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says that you have to have faith in God and you have to believe that he exists, and you also have to believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay. What I just said takes people sometimes 20 years to accept. But did you know if you diligently seek him, he's a rewarder of that? You have to get that. So, okay, so you have to, you know, this is your homework. You have to digest that there's a book written about you. And it's Jeremiah 29:11. It has a good end. Okay? Number two is that when you diligently seek him, he rewards you of that. And when you meet in a congregation and you speak well of the Lord and you worship him, there's a book of remembrance written about you for doing that. Now, these are things that you have to accept. And you don't have to die. and come back to believe this. You know, this is the way it is. And you have to remember that Jesus does not have your file. You know, that file that you feel guilty about? Every morning you wake up and you feel guilty. I mean, think about this. Adam and Eve fell. God came the next day looking for them. He still wanted to talk to them. Okay, it took them 1,000 years to die. Did you hear what I just said? 1,000 years after what happened in the garden, it took us still 1,000 years. Adam lived 930. Are you getting what I'm saying? Maybe not. They sinned, and they still lived 1,000 years. And if you check it out, Cain was about to kill Abel, and God came and tried to coach him. He said, if you do right, won't you be accepted? But sin is crouching at the door and desires to have you. God's coaching them face to face. Did you hear what I just said? God knows what's going about to happen, but he still shows up anyway. Okay, so how much more with the blood of Jesus can Jesus show up and help you and coach you no matter what you think you've done that has disqualified you? I mean, if you're not forgiven, dear Lord, where does that leave the rest of us? You know, I mean, it's either all or nothing, right? I mean, we're either in the right thing or we're not, you know? I mean, there's people blowing themselves up right now and they don't even know the truth. They think they do, but they're blowing themselves up right now because they're going to heaven, they think. They're doing God a favor. And they don't even have the truth. And I've met this person named Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life. Then there's no other way. And so before we get started, I want to make sure that you have these truths in your mind. Because you have to realize that God loves shortcuts. And you might not think he does based on your life or based on other people's lives. But think about it. There's really, I can tell you that if you walk on ice, there's a danger of slipping, right? But yet people still fall. I can tell you certain things, and yet some people need to just find out for themselves. Well, Jesus is like that. I mean, he's told me, he says, if you want to find out for yourself, then just do it your way. I'm serious. That's the way he is. Some of y'all, you have to understand, when I met him, he was not like everyone had told me he was. He's not weak. And, you know, it's not his opinion. You know, I mean, he, not only does he rule the universe, he actually spoke it into existence. According to Hebrews, it says that there is nothing that wasn't made through him. You know, it was all made through him. That he was slain from the foundation of the world. Okay, so this is who we're talking about. I just wanted you to make sure we haven't digressed. We're still talking about Jesus here. And he's actually like in command. And angels listen to him. And I'm thinking, like, when are we going to? You know, angels do, they hearken unto the voice of the Lord to do his bidding. They're strengthened. They gain strength from him. And I'm getting there. I'm getting to where now I'm yielding. And when I'm yielding, I'm actually causing a reaction around me in the environment and in the spirit. It's just pulsating and reverberating. And demons are screaming. And demons are leaving now before I get there. You know, Jesus is stepping out of the boat and they're already yelling at him and they're negotiating with him. They say, don't send us out of the countryside or, you know, the territory, because, you know, they got their gig going. You know, they got their matrix going. They got all their buddies and their demons, you know, all set up a certain way. They got everybody going in circles. They don't want Jesus messing that up. So, you know, one of them goes, and, they, you know, how are they going to train another one? They already got all these people hoodwinked, you know. So they're already negotiating with Jesus. They're always saying, if you come to torment us before our time. Some of them think he's going to confine them to the pit already, you know, instead of waiting until the end when they're thrown in the lake of fire. So you have to realize that demons know where you're at. And they know if you know. And it's amazing how they cut to the chase. When you've cut to the chase with the Lord, they start cutting to the chase with you. Because they know you're not gray. They know you're not weak. Do you know what I'm saying? Because this isn't about us. It's about him. But when they look in your eyes, I'm telling you, you want to hear a good story? We were praying in my house in Phoenix. I was helping our church we were helping a pastor friend start a church. So we were having some of the times we'd be in our house, and we had 30 people in there praying in the spirit and, you know, praying that God would help us with our church and everything. And you know what happened? We actually started to have God show up at the prayer meetings. Imagine that. You're praying in the spirit and get everybody in one accord, and all of a sudden, man, you got a house full of spirit-filled people. But not only that, then you have people that are all on the same page because you're praying in the spirit. You're in one accord. And you know what happened? Stuff started breaking. You know, the whole area above started breaking. Open heaven, and then the neighborhood started breaking. And you know, as I'm praying, I'd walk by people, and all of a sudden I'd slip from tongues to English, and I'd say something to somebody in the congregation, you know, and I was just walking by, and I did that. I was just walking through, and it would slip right into English, and I'd be prophesying, you know, instead of just praying in tongues. And I had authority about me, and I'm like, boy, you know, I just slipped into Jesus. That's what happened. Jesus started talking through me. You know, the Holy Spirit will do that. He'll get you over yourself so that you can walk into him. Did you hear what I just said? Because the Holy Spirit, I mean, he is all about Jesus. Right now, he has taken a back seat. All he's going to do is remind you of everything that Jesus said. He's going to reveal things that are to come. And he's going to tell you truth. So he is the spirit of truth. Okay, so I'm walking by, and I just, in English, and I'm like saying stuff. The people are just looking at me. And it's just like random stuff. You know, like I'm just like saying certain pieces of information. And then after it was all over, right before it was over, I look behind me, there's nobody behind me, but I heard these voices. And I don't usually hear voices, you know, I heard this voice say, let's get out of here. The Nazarene is praying through him. And all those people, there were 20-some people, they all came up to me. They said, Kevin, as you walked by me, I was praying for something in my mind. I was thinking of a certain thing while I'm praying in the spirit. He says, you answered it. As you walked by, you gave me the answer to what I was praying for. You know, it's just one accord. It's the spirit of God. You know, it's just the way it works. You know, can you imagine a whole congregation like that? Like we're all in one accord? Uh-oh. You know, all saying the same thing. You know, there was a time, I digress again. It's amazing. There's this place in Iraq called Babel. And it's just like 150 miles south of Baghdad. And this guy named Nimrod decided he was going to make a name for himself, build some cities. And he started to build this city, and then he decided he's going to build this tower. Okay, you know the story, Tower of Babel. Okay, so guess what happened? You know, there's a conversation in the Genesis. It says that the Trinity was talking. They said, you know, if we don't go down and confuse them, there's nothing they're not going to be able to do. Even what they imagine, read it, will be done. Now, see, the problem was, is they had the wrong idea and they called it truth, but they had unity. See, the church has truth, but we don't always have unity. Okay, there's a key here, because the devil took that and he said, now that the church has truth, we're going to have to keep them in division, because God said that with unity, there's nothing that they're not going to be able to do. Did you hear what I just said? So the devil just listens to God sometimes more than we do. But he picked up on that. I'm telling you that the Trinity was very concerned. They actually came down and confused them. And that's why we have all the languages right now. Now on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit reversed that curse. Because we all can speak in the Spirit and be one. And the Lord reversed that. But that's why you got to be Spirit-filled church. You know, you got to be Spirit-filled people, Spirit-filled church. Jesus is Spirit-filled. You know, he's really bold. And what I found is that the more the Spirit you have, the more that you are conquered. Because he wants to occupy you. Did you hear what I just said? See, David said, I'm not going to fear anymore because that's already been conquered and you've already conquered me. And before you occupy your territory, why don't you let God occupy you? You know, in other words, there's a territory that he wants. He wants to occupy you. So with the remaining time tonight, I want to talk about occupation. But what I want to talk about is how what Jesus bought is he bought me, right? And, you know, and he has all these plans for me. But this is what I found about Jesus is he's more interested in what he doesn't have yet, because he has a deed that says he bought everything. And the Holy Spirit is all about occupation. But the Holy Spirit's going to report back and say, well, you know, they have this, this, and this. Every time I go to this place in their heart, this is there. And so it says in John 14, I'm just telling you what the Bible says in red letters. It says that if you love me and you obey me, he said, me and my Father are going to come and we're going to live with you. We're going to move in. And even in the original language, it says we'll bring our furniture with us. And occupy. Okay, so getting back to how I opened this, what's bothering you? And before you want to change the subject with the Lord, because that's we all feel uncomfortable, like, well, it's this. He's going to say, well, what's the root? Because, see, he wants the whole thing out, because, he paid for that. And what's happening is we are so hurt that we're holding on to stuff. And we're holding on to stuff because it's a survival mechanism that's been built into us. And we hold on to that which we really should be letting go of. And it's amazing because there's a shortcut. Did you know there's a shortcut to hurts? It's called forgiveness. But see, the thing of it is with forgiveness, you're more worried about somebody getting away with something. I'm just telling you what I was told. And I thought, well, yeah, that's absolutely right. And he goes, well, he says, make room for the Lord. I will repay, says the Lord. It says, make room for the Lord. It says that before that, and people don't quote that. It says, make room for the Lord. I will repay. You know, when you think about this, you forgive, that file goes to the lawyer, who is Jesus, and the judge, it's rigged, because the judge is his father. And so you got a lawyer whose dad is the judge. And then you have angels that have swords. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. One of them killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night because they were bad. Is this good? I'm telling you, I'm excited. The reason I'm excited is because I can't lose. Lord told me to come back. It's all extra credit. I cannot lose. Every day is a gift. I wake up and it's a gift. And it's supposed to be that way for all of us. But we haven't discerned what's been done. And a lot of it has to do with forgiveness. And what forgiveness does is it's a shortcut. See, it's for your benefit. It's to release you so that the process of the courts can be taken. It activates them right away. And then you can even ask the lawyer, is there anything else I need to do? They said, no, you're free to go. We'll take it from here. And you walk out, and I mean, there is nothing that you can do now that's going to make it better than what it's going to be. And you let the Lord work it out. Because we can all have stories here. We could all just like, we could have open mic night and we'd be here till tomorrow morning. We'd be all like emptying our Kleenex boxes and it'd be authentic. Because we've all been through stuff. And I mean, it's a messed up world down here. But that's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. But you know, the thing that happened was between the enemy and him. We got caught in between it. Because that guy went AWOL before we did. Okay, do you understand? This is not, it's personal with God. But see, we're just stuck in the middle of it. We take all this stuff personally. You got to understand, this is a huge thing going on here. I mean, you're talking about a devil that's messing with God's creation. A devil that knows how to hurt God. And that is to hurt us. Do you understand what's happening? That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, you're all called to a ministry of reconciliation. He said, you got to go out and you got to tell people that the price has been paid. All they have to do is acknowledge it and accept. And it goes to court. And you're completely exonerated. And so we go out and we just compel people. It says compel them to come in. Reconcile. God's not mad anymore because of the blood of Jesus. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. All right, so something else, you don't mind me, he's touching on something else. One thing I'm just quickening about, the Holy Spirit is always available in full power. And he broods over all of us. He broods over us, just like he did in Genesis. And I saw this. You know how it says the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the earth and it was without form and void? But the Spirit of God was hovering, brooding, it says, you know. That Spirit of God was waiting for Jesus to speak. Because as soon as God said, light be, it was. The Spirit of God was right there. And see, so that now the Spirit of God is brooding. And he's brooding over his body. He's brooding over people. And we've been given the word. It says that we have on our lips the word of faith. Why did Jesus, it's in red, it's not just in the Kenneth Copeland Bible. Mark 11:23 is in every Bible, 24 is in every Bible, it's in red letters. Jesus said it first. It's not been brought forth by some person you saw on TV. Jesus said, if you'll believe in your heart, and he says, if you'll believe it and say to that mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea and not doubt, but believe that what you say will come to pass, you will have it. He told me personally, he said, if you'll believe, Kevin, nothing shall be impossible to you. You know, that's in the Bible. Okay, but that just like, that doesn't calculate with our mind. Okay, the Spirit of God is waiting to hear the truth from our lips. I'll tell you why. Did you know that the devil does not have a birth certificate? He doesn't have a body. Why do you think he wants to be in a body? Because he doesn't have one. He was here illegally. You see, Jesus only died for people that had a flesh and blood body. So, you have a birth certificate, so you have authority. The devil doesn't have a birth certificate. He's here illegally, and he's going to lose his lease on the earth. He's slowly losing it right now. Okay, so, here's the deal. I don't have time to get into it. If you're a lawyer, you totally understand this. But you have to understand that there's a legality. And that is if I'm really the heir, and I have a birth certificate to prove that I was born, and I say something, I have more authority than the devil. I really do. Human beings actually have more authority. Do you know that there are people I know that were not even saved, and they were being harassed by a spirit, and they just kept telling the thing to shut up, and it left, and they weren't even Christians? It stopped bothering them. So there's some latency there, even in a human being. Okay, what I'm trying to tell you is that there's a legality that has to happen. A human being has to say it. Because of authority, the way God made it. He made us in the image. He did not make Nakash, which is translated the serpent, which Nakash doesn't even mean serpent. It means bright and shiny one. That's hilarious to me. And I'm not even a scholar. I'm just a little one, you know. But do you understand the beauty of a human being is we were made in the image of God, and no one else was made in the image of God, but man was. Actually, it's man and woman together. But listen to this. If I say something, something gets activated if the Spirit of God is brooding on me. Is this good? Okay, so this isn't like super spiritual. This isn't like, you know, this is the way it is. It's a legality. In the courts of heaven, the devil goes, he throws his hands up. He goes, man, you know, they did it right. And he just lost. And you know what? After a while, that's what I'm trying to tell you is sometimes the devils leave before I even get there. Are you seeing why I'm saying that? Because, when there's a good lawyer in town, it gets around. And everybody wants to use him. And you know what else happens? The people on the other side of that lawyer, they want to settle out of court. Right? The reason why is it's going to be cheaper. The cost won't be as great if we just go ahead and just wave the white flag. So where are you at? Like on the list, the devil's list, where are you at? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he knows where you're at. And, you know, there are people that didn't know what they were doing. And the devil's even said, you know, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? And they beat him up. Seven sons of Sceva. So I have scripture for everything I say tonight. If you have any questions, you just ask me. I have questions. I have questions for questions, but I have mostly answers. So if I don't know it, I'm going to pretend like I do by just asking you a question. No, I'm just kidding. In God's presence, there are no questions. Remember that. At the throne, there are no questions. There's just answers. Okay, so where are you on the list? Because this is what's going on. The Spirit of God is brooding. And the Spirit wants to say something through you because the Spirit knows that it's a legality. So when you preach, you're not just proclaiming to yourself. You're not just proclaiming to the people in 5 feet in front of you. You're not just proclaiming to the building. You're proclaiming to the neighborhood, to the territory, to the state, to the country. Because in the spirit, it just goes like, and Jesus took me and showed me this. He took me somewhere, and it was in New Mexico, and I was in Phoenix. And when I was dead, I looked at myself on the table, and he took me, and I watched them still working on my body. And he took me to New Mexico. He showed me where that atomic bomb was detonated. It's called White Sands Missile Range, and there's a mountain range that's on the west side. He took me, we stood on that. I'm not kidding you. And he said, start praying in the Spirit. And so I started praying in the Spirit. And I watched, and he goes, no, watch. And it ignited this explosion out there in that white sand. And it just went, and it was this bright red, just burst of power, and it went straight up. And he said, most people are looking for that big plume when they pray. He said, you're effective in prayer, but I want to show you what the effect really is. He said, look along the ground there. See that shock wave coming out? And this shock wave was coming out at the speed of sound. It was knocking buildings over. It was knocking trees over, and it was blowing stuff over. And it was coming out. It went out for 30 miles. He said, that's how effective you are when you pray. He said, everything in your way feels it. And that's the absolute truth. So when you start praying, and when you start praying and you start proclaiming, especially when you get into this thing, can I preach on prophetic prayer? Because that's where God's going now. He's getting to a place where you just pray and you get in His Spirit. All of a sudden, He takes you. Do you hear what I'm saying? He'll actually take you to your answer, and you'll stand on it while you're praying. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, I got this. And you just start proclaiming it. And you'll see the devils go, dear Lord. And they just walk off. They just gave up another plot of land. I'm serious. That's where we're coming to, because the Spirit's brooding now. And so He's taking us to our answer. And you'll find the Spirit start telling the end from the beginning. It's called prophecy. And you know, and then, you know, we yield to this by accident, you know, and we found ourselves telling the answer, and we're actually asking, and we find ourselves saying the answer instead of asking the question. Yeah. So, did you hear what I just said? So you're waiting to hear Jesus, you know, to talk to Jesus. So you're waiting for Him, okay? And then it's your turn, and you go up there, and you have a question for Him. And instead, you say, Lord, I just want to thank you for paying my house off, and you just walk off. And he goes like this. I'm serious. See, you don't go up and ask, hey, Lord, I want my house paid off. By the time you get to Him, it says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So what happens is you start testifying about Jesus, and you get in His presence. All of a sudden, you start talking like He does. And what he's saying is, let's wrap this whole thing up. If you just yield to me, let's just wrap it up and go to the millennium. So start. He says, just start yielding. We'll get rid of your stuff, and then you can start focusing on your neighbor. Okay, I got. I'll take it another step. Okay, so you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, and it activates this legality. Okay, now here's another cool thing about that no one wants to talk about. But I can come up here, you know, I can hand the mic to any of you. You can tell me what the devil has done to you this week. And it'd be true. You could just say, you know, this is what the devil's doing to me. And, you know, he did this to me last week. And, you know, come to think of it, he's done it to me for 10 years. And then you start crying, you know, and everybody's like, oh, man, we'll pray for you. And then you feel better because everybody's feeling sorry for you. And Jesus is like, did I die for that? Is this a testimony meeting? You know? Okay, but here's the thing is that if I come up here and I say, an angel of the Lord helped me, an angel of the Lord blessed me, an angel of the Lord came and stood beside me and strengthened me, like Paul said, or Peter, like I was in jail, man, and there was like this group of people, they were praying for me, and all of a sudden the jail cell opened up and the angel just said, come this way. Took me to the house where they were praying, and they didn't even believe it. Left me standing out there. That's scripture in Acts, okay? Okay, so I can talk about the devil and what he's been doing to me, but the minute I mention an angel, it's like, oh, Yeah, that's too far. You're going too far now. Like, even though there's 2/3 more, at least, and they're all enforcing a blessing, and the devil's enforcing a curse. But I can't talk about angels. That's hilarious to me, because they help me all the time. In fact, they're better friends than my friends are a lot of times. They're a lot more happier. Okay, I'm going to tell you something else that happens. Not when the Spirit's brooding, not only is the Spirit brooding over you, but did you know that the Holy Spirit is also the communicator between the angels? That the angels respond to the Spirit of God. It's the military communication system. The Spirit of God is speaking to every living creature. You know, I was just at a pastor's house. I preached in Wisconsin. I just came from there. I was there for 2 weeks. And when my angels would come in, the cats would just go crazy and start dancing and spinning. And they'd be jumping up, clawing at them. And they go, oh, that's what happens when the angels come in. Our cats see them. And I'm looking, I'm like, whoa, this is really cool. I mean, they're doing like all this stuff, like break dancing. They're like spinning. And they're these kind, they're the ragdoll cats, the ones that just kind of lay there. Now all of a sudden, they're doing like dashes. And they're all excited. Because they know these beings are powerful. Okay, so the angels come, and this is what they do. He says, you know, can you talk to angels? Can you tell them what to do? You know, I get that's the number one question. And I always say, well, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that they hearken unto the voice of the Lord and they do his bidding. But here's the thing. I've learned to say what is being said from the throne. Because they're code words. So it's amazing. Like right now, I could tell you something. I could tell you something about Jesus. It's just going to flip the angels out. That he is in Psalms. It's in Psalms. I found it in this translation. It says that the angels adore him and they kiss his feet. They hear the voice of the Lord, and sometimes it's through you. It should be all the time, but we're getting there. They hearken unto his voice, but what happens if he's speaking through you, and you're telling this mountain to be removed and be cast into the sea? They go, all right, boys, that's it. That was in our briefing. When we hear that, they go and they start taking care of your mountain. See, they really don't care how you feel. Because they go on what they know. And they've already seen the show from heaven. They've been standing before the throne and they just had the most amazing worship session. You know, where like everybody can just worship without any resistance, without any concern, abandonedly. And they come down here and stand beside you, and they're like, oh, I hope my ship's over soon, because you know what they're doing? They're saying, the Spirit of God is brooding. And it's like, maybe today they're going to say something that we heard in the briefing. Is this good? This is the way it is. Angels, they know what it's all about. And they're like, you know, if you aren't going to kiss Jesus' feet, we're going to. If you're not going to do his bidding, we will. It says that they are strengthened by his word. You know, and did you know that they light up? They are excited when the word of God is being preached. They are excited when God is being worshiped in spirit and in truth. They can see the Spirit of God. They can see the Spirit of God coming out of your breath. There's an aroma that's given when, like, I know this is hard to believe, but you got to just trust me on this. Did you know that when you have an opportunity to freak out and you don't, that there's an aroma that goes off right to the throne? When you're presented with something that you could do that would preserve yourself, or that you would like choose yourself over your neighbor, or if you would choose to not believe, But you don't. You choose to believe it anyway, even though it's hard. Even though you just want to slap the person, but you don't. And you walk away. Did you know there's an aroma that goes off? It's called a sacrifice. There's an aroma that human beings, that angels don't have. It goes right to the throne. I'm telling you. See, you have to start walking in this reality because this is the way it is. Jesus said, everything you do counts. When you do it in my name, you get a reward for it. When you do it in my name, that means anything you do, if you do it in his name, you get it's written down. And when you honor him in someone else, there is a huge reward because I'm telling you, I got secrets. I got secrets. You know what I do? I do things for people that can't pay me back. Because you know what happens? Heaven has to pay you back. I actually get God in a bind every day. I really do. I get, because I set it up so that he has to send an angel or he has to do something that makes it look like I'll do stuff in secret because then I get rewarded openly. I'm serious. It's all in red letters. There's all this stuff. There are shortcuts. If you want to get heaven's attention, you got to get God to a place. You got to concentrate on orphans and widows. Because it says in Isaiah that then your light's going to shine if you do that. It says when you give to the poor, you actually loan to the Lord. And he pays you back with dividends, great dividends. I'm serious. You put God in a situation where he has to do it. Because see, you haven't manipulated the system down here. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, there comes a place where heaven is so behind that it comes behind you and tackles you. Mercy and grace pursue you, and money is no problem. And the reason it's no problem is because that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for him. And remember, the thing that is when Jesus and the Father move in according to John 14. Now this sounds like story time, but this is not story time. This is the truth. This is the way the Jesus I met. This is the one I serve. And, you know, most churches don't want him to come to their church. Because there's going to be a lot of stuff out on the lawn. Even the garbage truck won't pick it up. Because, well, you know, if you want me in, you know, well, this has got to go. Because that's where I'm going to be. You know what he said to me one day? He said, one day, I said, Lord, you can have everything. You can have it all. And he goes, I want the space you're standing on, too. I'm like, whoa, that's deep. I go, okay. That one, too. I want that. And then I realized, you know, it's all about occupation. But you got to give him permission, and that's why you got to give him legal. That's why you got to come to an altar, and you got to give your life to the Lord. And you have to say, Lord, I confess you as Lord. I believe that you died for me, and you rose from the dead. I believe that your blood purchased me. You have to actually say it. Because the Holy Spirit is brooding. And then he goes right into you and you're born again. You become a new creature. The old has passed away. Now that's in your spirit. You still have your soul that Paul says needs to be renewed. And your mind needs to be transformed. And then your body, he says, I beat my body daily. So then you got to discipline your body. So it's not over just because you get born again. And this stuff is not taught, but it's a truth. That's why God loves the smell of burning flesh. He really does. I'm not kidding you. Why do you think he was having things put on an altar and then burnt? Because he said he recanted. He said, I repented that I even made man. Because he says that their intentions are evil. And I can't strive with them anymore, so their days are going to be 120. Because he'd had it. See, there's an aroma that goes up. Are y'all getting set free? You see, the Spirit, if you look it up, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he's going to lead you into all truth. If you look it up, it says the Spirit of reality. The word truth means reality. So when there's a shift that happens. And what it is the Spirit comes in and he shifts your world. And all of a sudden you see. And all of a sudden you hear. And as James says, after you see and you hear, you should put it into action. He lights you up with fire. And then not only do you see and hear, but then you start to do. But see, it's not work. It's this amazing, you know, like I'm amazed at how, because I believe, how easy it is to talk to people. You see, because there's a hesitation. And people know that. I mean, devils know that. Devils know it. I have amazing devil casting out stories. I could spend all night talking about them. The devils know when you know. And the thing that they don't like is when you just get to the point. And you know who the point is? It's him. And they're like, well, don't mention him. Oh, you mean Jesus Christ? They're like, no! I go, well, what about his blood? Oh, don't talk about the blood. That was really bad for us. Oh, you should hear him. I've had people levitate in front of me. And they're just giving me a show. And I was just asking them to leave. But they want to give me a show on the way out, I guess. I don't know. It's like a circus, you know. I've had 30 voices talking to me. And the man's lips weren't even moving. He had his mouth open. Nothing's happening. But I got 30 beings arguing, fighting each other, and fighting me. And I said, y'all are going. Y'all. I said, the blood of Jesus is against you. They go, oh, don't. They're screaming, don't talk about the blood. I go, okay. So I phone a friend. Because I was at work and I was armed security. And I got this guy, he's trespassing. And, you know, I don't even have to put cuffs on him because he's got devils in him. And he's messed up. So he's sitting there and he's got his invisible friends talking to me. So I got like 30 people in my office. You know. So I just phone a friend because this guy's an evangelist and he loves to preach. And he's in the dorm, you know, like 500 feet away. So I say, hey, Bruce, can you come and preach about the blood? I'll be right there. I'm serious. He walks in. I'm sitting there waiting for the police to come, you know, because it's private property. So I'm armed and everything, but I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to hold the guy until the police come. So he walks in and he opens his Bible and Bruce goes, let me tell you about the blood of Jesus. And he starts preaching and they're all screaming and leaving. They didn't want to stay to hear the rest of it. Okay, this is the absolute truth. I mean, I'm being funny about it, but it's not, I mean, it wasn't funny then, but it is kind of funny in the sense of that they'll sit and talk to you about did God say all day. But the minute you start talking about the blood and you start talking about the name of Jesus, then all of a sudden it's over because they're over. You see, they have no more authority. So that's why I don't let people talk to me about doctrine. Like, well, this is what I believe. You know, I go, oh no, we're doing story time right now. I said, give me your hand. And I said, you're called to the ministry, aren't you? And he just looks at me. He's drunk now. All of a sudden, he's sober. He goes, yeah. I go, you feel that? He goes, my God, yeah. I go, that's the power of God. I'm on a pier in Fort Myers, and I just preached. You know, I'm all that. But when I walk out of the church, I don't stop being a preacher. Either do you. So I'm on a pier, and I'm supposed to be having my fun time now. And we just started walking down the pier and grabbing people's hands and praying with them. That guy even let us pray for his dog, you know. Two barks if you say yes, two, no. No. This guy goes, yeah, I am called to ministry. And he sobered up right there, and he's just crying. I go, you need to get into church. I said, you're called. You need to just... He goes, my God, thank you. He says, can you pray for my daughters? I said, sure. They all accepted the Lord. We prayed for everybody, even the dog. And I'm thinking, this is how easy it is. But if you want to talk, you know, like if you want to talk to the devil, you know, you have to understand that if a person's not saved, they are free range for the devil. They have no resistance. And even Christians, if they're not fully yielded to God, the devil can influence what they say and what they do. You know, they can work against you. And you know, I'm just telling you, if there's a devil, it needs to be cast out. And so you have to get to this place where the anointing of God is not just brooding over you, that you start speaking, because this is what happens. When you start speaking, you can see that anointing just go right into you and back out your mouth. And then when you hand a cup of water to someone, that anointing goes in you and out through that cup. And so when you do something for someone that they can't pay you back, guess what? It goes straight to heaven, and now heaven's in debt, and they can't take that. They can't take that. I know you think it's funny. It's the truth. So this is the way it is. God's word does not come back void. And so it's this big, circular, amazing thing where God sits on his throne and he says something and then he waits for it to come back. So one day he thought of you. He spoke you into existence. You went to a mother's womb, yours, and you were born. And then one day you stand before him and he goes, I knew you'd be back. See, he spoke you into existence. His word doesn't come back void. I'm telling you, seed time and harvest. Do you understand that's the way it is? God does not do anything by mistake. He does not try anything. Everything about him. It's 12:30 where I'm from, so it's already tomorrow. You have to realize that with God, everything counts. But it doesn't seem like that down here at times because we're dealing with warfare. So here's what you do when you yield to the Spirit of God. You're yielding to the kingdom of God, which is translated into the kingdom of heaven, which is heaven. And all of a sudden, heaven comes. And now, God says, I'm no longer just going to reveal myself to you. I'm no longer just going to visit you. I'm going to come and inhabit you. I'm going to stay. Like, he'll come, and one day he just won't leave. And that's what his goal is, but it's occupation. Okay, so this weekend, I'm going to talk about all that. I'm going to talk about what I just said. The reason why I'm going to do that is because I believe that God is done waiting for everything that he invested in us. I think he's done with not having the return that he put into it. Now, you understand what I'm saying with that. You know how, like, people, they look at their portfolio. They want to know the return, you know, and they check it quarterly. Well, Jesus talked to me about what he went through for us. And in that time that he talked to me, he started choking up. He started crying and what he suffered. And he invested a lot more than I thought. And the things that he went through, it was much more than you can comprehend. And I could tell that he didn't want one drop of blood wasted of what he went through for us. And so that's why I do what I do. The reason why I do what I do is because for the 45 minutes that I was with him for the first time that this happened, the whole time he's talking to me, I'm thinking, you are so misrepresented. I thought, how did anybody get your story so messed up? Because when he was speaking to me, it was so powerful and so real. And so he was He was everything that you could imagine and more. And everything he said was true. And he was going to back everything up, he said. Everything that he has written about you, it's backed up by heaven. Angels actually know your book better than you do. And they only are waiting for that to come to pass. They want the perfect will of God for you. And so Jesus, he's all about occupation because he paid for it. He already paid for all the property, all the real estate. And so he wants your state. He wants this country. He wants the world. But see, he has to have you first. He has to have Jerusalem first. And so it's not good enough. No, don't take me wrong, but you got to understand where I'm coming from. We think, okay, I know all the names of God. You know, and God's revealed through each name, right? Do you know that that doesn't even scratch the surface, okay? You don't understand that. So Moses is saying, we'll pick up with this tomorrow or whenever that is. Because it's time, right? It's 9:30, right? Is it 9:30 here? What is it? Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Wow. Is that amazing? Okay, everybody stand up. Praise God. Father, boy, I tell you, Lord, just soak this in. Okay, this is what the Lord's saying. I'm just telling you, I'm not afraid to prophesy because I know that if I don't prophesy, that things don't happen. And it's crazy because God can do anything, right? That's not the point. He made man in his own image. And he made him a speaking spirit. We can speak. Okay, so listen to this. Right now, you know what he's saying? He's saying that all the limitations in the spirit are taken off. They're taken off. Completely off. Okay, so what he's telling me, and what I know this already, okay, because I've been briefed. But see, the Trinity is not limiting you. They have never met and limited you. So, from now on, if it's not happening, guess what? There needs to be a shift. A reality shift. And that's what we're going to talk about. Okay, so right now I'm going to prophesy. And this is what the word of the Lord is. The word of the Lord is saying, listen. He said, listen. For I have given you life and life abundantly. I have lifted the restrictions off. Although you have limitations in your mind, look deeper in your spirit. For I have placed truth there in the inner parts. If you will walk with me, if you will make me your God completely, I am going to do miracles for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break every evil spirit, I break bondages in the name of Jesus. Eyes that see and ears that hear and feet that walk with the Lord God. In the name of Jesus, you evil rogue spirits, you go in Jesus' name. I break witchcraft in the name of Jesus. You let the saints go. You hear me. I'm telling you, go. I break the power of the devil in the name of Jesus. By his blood that was shed, you are finished. Father, I just thank you for your joy. I thank you for your healing. Heal your people. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Oh, dear Lord. Thank you, Father. You know what his goodness does? It leads us to repentance. Father, we just repent. You are so good. Ooh, somebody has a prophecy. Who has a word? Who has a word? Does anybody have prophecy?
Well, I just feel right now that God says you have to believe. You have to put everything else aside. Can't make any more excuses, even for your loved ones. But you have to believe. You have to take it inside of you. Each one of us have to believe. We have to believe he is God, and that he loves us. He only wants good for us. And like it's already been said, we've been set free. But it's up to us to go the next level. And God is in it. And we can all yell, hallelujah.
You see, we have to be firmly convinced. And there's so much that we're not encountering. I mean, like right now, whoa, I've been baptized. Right now, there's more power available to do anything if you just reach out to him. And if you want to come up here and spend some time, it's really strong up here. And, you know, I got a hands-free ministry. You know, so I don't have to lay hands on people. I mean, I will. But you understand, if you need to come up here and be in the presence, I'm telling you, we'll just finish out this way with some prayer. And if you want to come up here, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for y'all that you get a spirit of revelation. And the knowledge of him. You know, in Revelation, it talks in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. You should be praying that every day. It talks about Paul saying the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. You may know the hope to which you've been called. I'm telling you, the holy presence of God is up here. If you need revelation, this is the place to come. In this time, Father, I just thank you for that spirit of revelation and the knowledge of you. I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're not just hovering over the people, but you're going in a great way right now and manifesting your presence. I just thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father. There's a shift going on. The Lord's already answering. The Lord's telling me a lot of you just made the adjustments. You're about to see miracles in your life. the Lord is going to be strong and mighty as a warrior